Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you and encourage you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Our focus text this morning will be verses 15 and 16 of this chapter, but I'll be reading verses 15 through 23 for context. Join me as we go before our Lord once again in prayer. Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open our eyes that we would truly see, and open our ears that we would truly hear the wondrous things that you have for us in this your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Hear now the holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God, written for you and for me today. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Well, beloved, what a wonderful encouragement it was for the saints in Ephesus and is for us today to hear about all of the rich, grace-fueled spiritual blessings God had blessed us with in Christ. Our God is awesome in the way that he worked in the Apostle Paul to open his letter to them with a heart and with a mouth that were wide open in prayer and praise. And over these last few weeks, we've been ushered in with wonder to see the rich beauty of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ for us, seeing more and loving him more as we consider all the Father has bestowed on us as we are in him. What a wonderful time of faith and relationship building with our Lord as we have been blessed by learning more about the Father who chose us and the Son who we in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Last week, we were blessed yet again as we considered Paul's closing words to his prayer where we joined him in ascribing praise to the Holy Spirit for his work of sealing us, as we are those who have believed and trusted in Christ for our salvation. What was the usual experiential order that Paul taught us? We trusted Christ after hearing the word of truth, after hearing the gospel. And yet we know that truly hearing and believing the word proclaimed is truly by the work and grace of God. The truth of Scripture sounds forth clearly. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's true that God could have given us new life in Christ and left us on our own in some way, not taking ownership of us if he wanted to. However, he didn't do that. God was pleased and has welcomed us into his family. He has made those who were once slaves to sin bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul taught us that having believed, the Holy Spirit sealed us. And similar to a king sealing a letter with his signet ring, the Spirit secures us and marks us as belonging to God. And not only does the Holy Spirit seal us, but he is the guarantee of our inheritance, Paul taught us. The presence and work of the Holy Spirit in us now is the down payment, God's confirmed pledge of that which is to come in glory. And after breaking out in doxological praise and thanksgiving to God, take note of what Paul transitions in today's text. Thanksgiving for the saints and God's work in them, who he will then pray for. And as we've seen, praise and thanksgiving should be in our prayers. But a thankful heart will also lead us to pray for others. And this morning, we will consider the reason for Paul's thankfulness in verse 15a, the subject of Paul's thankfulness in 15b, and the need for Paul's thankfulness in verse 16. So in 15a, we see the reason. Paul said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And let's stop there. My friends, Paul here really communicates the grounds of his thankfulness. Notice he does so connecting what he says here to his prayer before. He begins with, therefore, pointing us back. He's really saying to them, on account of the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us, on account of the fact that we are chosen to be holy and blameless, on account of the fact that we are predestined to be adopted as sons and daughters of his, on account of our redemption and the forgiveness of our sins in Christ and being sealed by the Holy Spirit, considering all of these things, when Paul heard of their faith and love, which are really an outworking of the spiritual blessings that God gives, his heart was warmed, and he was sincerely thankful. Now, thinking about this, it's helpful to remember that Paul had ministered in Ephesus for over 2 years. He knew these people. He knew them well. However, the time he wrote this letter was possibly as much as 5 years later. Remember, folks back then didn't have Facebook, Instagram, MeWe, or Gab. Communication paths were pretty well limited to messages bringing letters or verbal reports to another. And so hearing news about them was encouraging to Paul as he had pastoral concern for them. He loved them. He had a pastor's heart, and his love was for those people. And it warmed them to hear of their faith and love. You know, we hear news from different people in our lives all the time, every day, maybe even, right, from different folks. But what do you do with the news that you receive, especially good news? How do such reports impact you? Some of us may honestly have more of a in one ear, out the other, not to be insulting or anything, but it's just reality. We may have that type of encounter. We're busy. We have our minds on many things. Maybe it's hard to keep everyone's updates and life events in the noggin. Others may receive the report, note it, move on. But Paul isn't talking about hearing general life news about the Ephesian saints here, is he? No, he's talking about important spiritual matters, some that we may frankly forget to be mindful of or to observe with enough detail that we could give a helpful report to someone else about them. But notice that the grounds of Paul's thanksgiving, they weren't based on the saints hearing the glorious doctrines of predestination, election, redemption, adoption, etc., and them solely repeating that head knowledge to others. No. Paul's thanksgiving was grounded in receiving reports of those truths being manifested in their lives, and the fruit of that was showing. That's what excited Paul. That's what made Paul thankful. Biblical doctrine rooted in their hearts was evident in wonderful ways in how they lived. And we should desire that in our own lives, beloved, shouldn't we? For we don't desire to be puffed up with knowledge for knowledge's sake. We desire that that knowledge would impact our lives and bear good fruit. But in 15b, Paul goes on to say what the subject of his thankfulness was. He says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So Paul received word of their faith and their love. And it should be an important point of interest to know for us about how our brothers and sisters are doing in their faith in Christ. You know, Paul gives the same or similar words of thanks to most of the churches he ministered to. Ephesus wasn't unique in this way. They were definitely special in many ways. And him giving such words and thanks to other churches in no way diminishes what he said to Ephesus, for it is vitally important. But Paul said, for example, the same things and shared the same words of thanks for the church in Colossae. We see that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. He also said the same thing to Philemon. You can read that in Philemon verses 4 through 6. Further, Paul and his colleagues gave thanks to God always for the saints in Thessalonica, remembering without ceasing, he said, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 2 through 3. Also, he said, as it is fitting, because of your faith growing exceedingly. Again to the church in Thessalonica, except this in his second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And also to the church in Philippi, he said this in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's impressive. That's important to see how the Spirit of God worked in Paul to have such thankfulness, to have such depth of involvement of them in his prayers, and he had great joy in his requests for what God was doing in the Philippians. But notice here, regarding the subject of Paul's thankfulness in Ephesians 1, that Paul first spoke of their faith. Now, what is faith? Westminster Shorter Catechism, number 86, helps us with a brief and a good succinct definition. The question is, what is faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer is, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. My friends, like Paul points out, the presence of faith in Christ in another believer is cause for thanksgiving in and of itself. Praise God, for it is his work, it is his gift. It's also helpful to hear of others' struggles and growth in faith. Those are also good matters and subjects for our prayers and thanksgiving to God for them. But Paul here isn't only speaking of the saving grace of their receiving Christ by faith and belief. He is also talking about their resting upon Christ for eternal life. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4 say this: "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." Remember how we just learned in verse 14 about the Spirit being the guarantee of our inheritance, the inheritance which is confirmed now, but is also yet to come. As we study the scripture regarding our salvation, we can talk about having been saved, that we are being saved, and that we will be saved. Faith is the instrument by which all of the benefits of Christ's redemption come to us. And by faith, we are trusting and resting upon Christ alone for every aspect of our salvation. Paul also recognized the object of their faith. Notice, he didn't just say that he was thankful for their faith, but he was thankful for the object that for their faith and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The object of their faith was Christ, the Messiah, their Savior, their Lord and Master. And clearly, if the object of their faith was in someone or in something else, that wouldn't have stirred Paul to joyful thanksgiving. But it was the Lord Jesus they believed in and rested upon. And we too believe and are resting upon King Jesus. Faith in Christ's life and death and resurrection is the only ground for our salvation. Hear the Apostle Peter's words in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And keep them deep in your heart and fresh in your mind," I encourage you. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Remember that. Meditate on that. And so Paul was thankful for the saints' faith in Christ, as well as their love for all the saints. The believers in Ephesus clearly had love for one another, but that love wasn't confined to their congregation. They had and showed love for other brothers and sisters beyond their boundaries also. The Greek here tells us the love that they had and shared was agape love. And agape love is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. As I mentioned earlier, the church in Colossae was of this mind and in such practice, and so was Philemon. The churches in Macedonia were also, as was evident in their taking a collection to help the poor in the church in Jerusalem. Romans chapter 15, verse 26, we read there, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who were in Jerusalem." And so Paul was thankful that God was pleased to take doctrine and theology and work it into the Ephesian hearts and lives in ways that bore the beautiful fruit of love in their living. Beloved, this selfless love should be present in all believers everywhere in any generation until Christ returns. Because of our love for Jesus, we must have and must show our love for one another, as well as to brothers and sisters in the broader body of Christ as well. We need to be concerned for the interests and the needs and the well-being of others in addition to our own. And considering these things, what does Paul do? What is he drawn to do? He is drawn to pray for them. And so we see the need for Paul's thankfulness in verse 16, where he told them, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Again, take note, beloved, thanksgiving should be in our prayers, but having a thankful heart will also lead us to pray for others. And notice also how Paul tells the saints that he didn't cease in giving thanks for them. The Holy Spirit worked in Paul's heart in such a way that he couldn't stop being thankful for them and God's work in them. This wasn't a one-off prayer of thanks. This wasn't a small matter in the heart and the mind of Paul. Clearly, was such prayer all that he did every minute of the day? No. But was this a prayer that he engaged in over and over and over again? Yes. And further, Paul's prayers weren't full of generic thanks. Note that he mentioned the saints specifically, even by name. So important. On the one hand, having heard Paul's previous prayer of praise and thanksgiving, having heard of the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, having heard that the Spirit has come as a down payment, as a guarantee of our inheritance, aren't we good to go? I mean, is any more prayer for the saints really needed? We don't need to take care further. We don't need to pray for ourselves and others. No. No. Quite the opposite. Prayer is needed. Fervent prayer is called for, is commanded. We need to be diligent in prayer. There is a great, great need for prayer, my friends. And while Paul blessed God for giving his people the Holy Spirit, he didn't cease in praying that God would give them greater measures of the Spirit. While we hear good things of our Christian friends, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we should be fervent to intercede for them before God, that they may abound and increase more and more. I'll leave you with this and ask you this. When was the last time your heart was warmed when you heard of someone's faith in Christ and love for his people? Do you take joy when you hear of gospel impact in the life of another? When was the last time your thankfulness took you to go before God's throne of grace, thankful for them? Are you fervently praying for them, mentioning them in your prayers? Let me challenge you this morning. Make time and take time to be thankful to God for the faith and love that each of us have. And express your thanks to God for the fruit that he is bringing about and showing forth in our lives. It should be such an encouragement to us to see and to hear of his work in others, and even their impact in others' lives, and so forth. Thank God for them, beloved. even if you don't have the opportunity to share with them like Paul did, as an encouragement that you thank God for them, still go before the throne of grace and thank God for them. Praise God for the love that we have for one another, and may that love expand and grow in meaningful ways, even as we desire to show Christ's love to our brothers and sisters in other places. Let me also challenge you to grow in the fervency of your prayers. We all struggle with this in various ways. But we all must press on to grow. Make it a priority. Make it a daily practice to the glory of God, to the encouragement of other saints in the body of Christ. Indeed, to deepen your relationship with God as you partake of that means of grace. And as he blesses you, as you come to him and his throne of grace. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.